You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Lunit Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Galen Hare. Galen is an aggressive and relentless legislator. He's licensed in multiple states and boasts clients from around the world. With large wins both at home and across the country, he has an impressive record of favorable result. He helped those who has gone through disasters to come out of it and win. And so it's an honor to have him on the show because this is actually the first attorney we've had on board that does your type of work, Galen. So I'm really looking forward to hearing about your insights and also sharing and talking about your morning routine, of course. So no further ado, Galen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to getting to talk to you.
Yes, absolutely. It's an honor. I am curious to see how you got into this. There's always a backstory to how we get into the field that we're in, the kind of work that we do. But before we jump right in, tell us a little bit about your background.
So I'm what you would call a non-traditional path lawyer. So I initially was a music student up in Boston, originally born and bred in Texas, but did go to music school in Boston. The short version of the story is that Hurricane Katrina hit, mass destruction everywhere, and I just kind of felt a need to be there. So I came down, did volunteer work, and eventually that led me to law school and to where I am now.
That's interesting. So you kind of saw a way to create a whole new field and that you would find interesting after the disaster happened. You kind of jump on.
Yeah, it was definitely a new field for me. Obviously, the field existed because insurance has been around forever, but it was nothing I had ever even remotely considered for myself. And when I saw what a meaningful impact, either a positive or negative result in that realm has on real people's lives, yeah. It just, as meaningful as music is, and as much as I loved it, it just felt much more of an opportunity for me to feel like I had an impact.
Yeah, way to add value and people who are in immediate need too. So that's the cool part. And out of Boston, I'm from Boston. I lived in Roxbury for years before moving to California. So it's good to meet a fellow Bostoner as always. So that your career, your job brought you out to after Hurricane Katrina happened and you stayed.
I just stayed. Yeah, I got an opportunity to be around kind of movers and shakers in the world of social justice, right? A lot of kind of hanging out by a campfire at night, talking about everything that was wrong with the world. A lot of them law students, some of them lawyers. So that just kind of pushed me towards law school, got to Tulane, eventually left because I thought maybe I wanted to go be a big city lawyer. So I went to New York, but I was there very briefly and then came right back.
Yeah, it brought you right back home. So tell us about what you do, how you help the people that you serve.
So my firm's called Insurance Claim HQ. And what we do is we represent policyholders. So those are either homeowners or business owners with insurance that have been negatively affected by a natural disaster. Every once in a while, a man-made disaster, but usually a natural disaster such as a hurricane, a tornado, a flood, or even a fire. And what we do is work with them kind of from a holistic approach to identify all of their needs and then advocate to the carrier to get them the relief that they're entitled to under the policy. We call that full indemnity. We're always searching for full indemnity.
Okay. And the holistic approach of it is providing that consultation, that care that's needed, because at that time, somebody's devastated. Right. And you're coming in and say, OK, reassurance, like we can get this back. Let's work. How do you calm the people down who has been devastated during at that time?
So self-care is something that kind of goes out the window when you've lost everything you own and you're trying to find out where you're going to live with your kids. So we don't talk down to them and tell them, look, you should really get a great morning routine or do anything like that. But we do employ, I would say, a fundamentally different approach as opposed to most law firms. A lot of our case managers are not traditional case managers that worked at other law firms. A lot of them have backgrounds in social work or clinical social work. A lot of them are trained in de-escalation techniques and things like that. So I would rather take someone that frankly has zero legal skills, because I can teach those, and find someone that's just an innately good human and can be a good shoulder to lean on. So we kind of start that way. And then we work on what I call a needs identification analysis. So what do they need? What's going to make them happy? What's going to help them? What are their pressure points today? And it's usually not the missing money to fix their home. Sometimes it's temporary housing. Sometimes it's getting content. Sometimes it's food. So we find out what those things are and find ways within the confines of the policy to help achieve those goals.
Interesting. I do love that business model because that sets you apart from every other legal firm or insurance policies and carriers out there, because now you're being resourceful. You're like, sending them where there are shelter, when there is shelter, where there is the food bank, where there's these resources available. So for you, you have to be very versed and well known in the area to know where those things are, to get plugged in.
That's what we spend a lot of our time and resources on, is just identifying those resources and cultivating those relationships. So when I really need to get someone in a hotel at the last minute or need to get them some food, I can do so without having to move heaven and earth.
Yeah, that's really cool. That model is holistic to hear. So how has business been growing? And so I would say you don't wait around for disaster to happen to serve, right? I would not imagine.
So unfortunately, we're not doing any waiting anymore. It seems like the disasters outpace. I'm a big fan of what I call unreasonable growth or exponential growth. Mm-hmm. And these natural disasters are currently outpacing what I would consider to be the most unreasonable or the most exponential growth of any one or even multiple businesses. So there's far more work than we can handle, and we're continuing to grow, and there's still far more work than we can handle. I don't imagine that we'll be sitting back and waiting for the next at least couple of years.
That's okay. Okay. I just wanted to know, it's like, what happened once you've kind of helped the people with relief and actually get them back on their feet, make sure they get the claims filled out and all that?
Oh yeah. Once they close out. So once we get them paid, we get them to what I call full indemnity. They can kind of move on with the rebuild phase. We can serve as a resource for that, but it's not necessarily our jam, so to speak. They get kind of fully made whole. And then we tend to get a lot of photos. We tend to get a lot of emails. We tend to get a lot of social media stuff. Hey, thanks for getting our house put back together, which is what really probably keeps us doing this in the long run, because without appreciation, there's no reason. You have to have a reason to get up every morning. Yeah. And then we move on to the next person. And unfortunately, for every person we help, there's 10 more that need help.
I see. Yeah. Okay. And for your line of work, how long would you say benchmark that it takes to, from disaster occurred, they get involved with you, you know, and for them to start the rebuilding process that you mentioned, how long does that process take with the insurance? I know that can take some time.
It can. Every disaster is different and every region is different. So right now we're kind of running highs and lows from about 293 days to 67 days.
Hmm. Okay, that's 67 is a good thing.
67 is a good thing. It feels like a long time to be out of your house, okay? But 67 days is awesome. And when that's achievable, that is for us the creme de la creme of outcomes.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's fast. That's a fast turnaround. And so you and your team are tirelessly working in the background, making it happen.
I don't know about tirelessly. We're definitely tired, but we are constantly working for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So as a business owner, what are some of the habits that you must have for your business to run efficiently, for you to run effectively? You mentioned having the right people in place, which is crucial. And, you know, you say social workers who have the background to actually help people through this hard and tough time. What are some other things that must be in place for you to run smoothly?
So I think any successful business breaks into two components for the owner, the professional side and the personal side. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pull one up, that one will pull you down. Mm-hmm. So on the professional side, I think you have to identify what is it that you want your business to look like. Your business is its own character. It's its own person. Mm-hmm. Who is that person? Is that a person that everyone's excited when they walk in the room? Is that a person that everyone's scared of? Is that a person that's kind of a jerk? Is that like the super, super nice, really quiet guy? Your business can be someone that you aren't. That's fully capable for your business to have a different personality. And once you figure out what that character, what that persona looks like, you start to stuff it full of people. They don't all have to match that persona exactly, but they need to be different pieces of that persona. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really crucial. So we kind of create what we call like the Claim HQ personality. And we look for those people. Those are people we want to hire. Those are people we want to keep. Those are people we want to fiercely guard. And they're responsible. Responsibility and accountability are so key. John Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, who's probably like the big grand poobah of all plaintiff attorneys across the entire country. He says, he calls them send delete people. He says, you want people that you can send an email to and then delete it and never think about it again. Mm. And once you find those people, you relentlessly delegate to them. And that's exactly what we do. We find those very, very responsible, those send delete people. I relentlessly delegate things to them because I know that they will never, ever, ever drop the ball. And by creating an atmosphere, and this is so crucial, business owners screw this up, I think. If you don't create an atmosphere where your team members feel rewarded, feel energized, feel appreciated, and genuinely like the work they do, if you don't do that, then you can't relentlessly delegate to them. If you do create that environment, you can give them as much work as you want because it'll never be too much.
Right. And that's an art and a science in itself, right? Because you don't want them to experience any burnout, but burnout can be experienced because of lack of joy. They're not appreciated. It's like pulling teeth. They don't have buy-in just yet, right? So it's crucial when doing the onboarding process or recruiting or just looking at potential people to bring onto your business is to kind of think of that. How do I instill buy-in? How do I get my vision from up here to their head? So that they can actually own it.
And there are so many things you can do for that. I mean, all the way from we have a program. Yeah. So we found a program called Bonusly. It's bonus.ly. It's kind of neat. It integrates with Slack and a bunch of other messaging features. People get points and they use those points and they redeem them in for gift cards and stuff. But what you do is you attach it to your core values. So when someone at the company does something that shows one of those core values, other team members will acknowledge that and give them points. Every team member gets an allocation of points, not to use, but to give away every month. So you encourage this giving atmosphere, this atmosphere of gratitude, this culture of gratitude. And once you create that culture of gratitude and recognition for being the type of person you want, it suddenly almost becomes a competition. Who can be that prototypical person, right? And gratitude just becomes, instead of gratitude being a word that I think we often laugh at, it becomes the currency that we use to communicate with each other. And look, I'm not going to pretend that it's all sunshine and rainbows and everyone in a firm or a company should hold hands and get along, but it certainly is nice on the days that they do. And it makes everyone a lot more productive, right? Because happy people are productive. And I believe you can do two things to prevent burnout. You can lower the workload or you can increase the happiness level. And from a profitability standpoint, the best thing to do is to increase the happiness level, not to lower the workload. But you do, with that said, I think as a business owner, you want to be responsible and identify efficiencies that can lower the workload automatically without necessarily decreasing productivity.
Yeah, that's crucial. That's key. I love that you said it. Gratitude. Now it's going beyond just gratitude we do in the morning, but it's going within the workforce. It's embedded in the culture of the company where everyone is showing each other appreciation, and that in turn leads to more happiness and that leads to more productivity. Because again, we're going back to how do you get buy-in, right? Going to try to answer that question. And that's how you do it. If they're happy with their work, you won't experience as much burnout. Kind of like us entrepreneurs, right? How we're able to pull 12, 16 hours day in and day out and still wake up bright eye, ready to go.
Well, and I don't. For me, it's the routine that gets me there, right? I don't wake up bright-eyed, ready to go. It would be a complete lie if I said every morning I wake up and I show up ready to work. I'm not there. It takes me about an hour and a half, 2 hours to get there every morning. So I wake up and I have my own routine, and my routine is designed to get me to a place where I'm mentally, emotionally, and physically am ready to show up to work and be the best leader ever. And I think if you're not doing that on the personal side, then you're pulling the professional side down.
Yeah, that seesaw image you gave us earlier, right? If you're failing on one end, it's going to drag the other down. And so that is a great segue to get into your morning routine. Tell us what it is. How do you get up, dress up, and show up with purpose?
So I would say I'm a big Hal Elrod fan with, you know, my own spin on things. So I'm ultimately a Savers fan.
Yeah.
I wake up every morning and I sit there for 5-10 minutes. I just need that time. Clear my head. The biggest self-restraint thing is the thing I don't do is look at my phone.
Good.
It took me years to figure that out.
Yeah.
Years to figure that out as a lawyer. So as a lawyer, we're kind of trained. The last thing and the first thing you do every day is look at your phone because the work has piled up while you slept. Yeah. The work has piled up while you went to the bathroom. The work has piled up while you ate. Like, you can't do anything. We will finish talking today and I will look at my email and there will be 100 emails of things that people deem urgent that usually aren't. Okay. Mm-hmm. And realizing that they're not actually that urgent becomes crucial. So I sit there 5-10 minutes, nothing. Don't look at anything. Still leave that phone there. Mm-hmm. Get up and go and work out. I jump on the Peloton, big Peloton fan. I like it because it gets my heart rate moving.
Yeah.
I do that second. I don't wait for the end because that is very therapeutic to me. Mm-hmm. I can kind of start to think about everything else I'll do for the rest of the day while I'm on that bike, but I can also kind of clear my head and kind of think about where I want to be. So I just do that first. The other thing is this, that phone's dangerous, right?
Yeah.
So people start to realize if you're an entrepreneur, they know when you wake up, they know what your routine is, and they start to catch you the second they think they can. So if you leave that down and go extra, you have to have your non-negotiable in your routine, and it can be multiple things. But you're not always going to pull off your routine every day. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to happen. Life, kids, all sorts of things happen. So you got to find your one non-negotiable. So for me, even if it's only 10, 15 minutes, jumping on that Peloton is my non-negotiable. So the phone isn't even my life. It's usually in another room while I'm on that Peloton. After that, maybe I go get the phone in case there's something going on. If there's an emergency, maybe I do need to know about it. But then I go back and kind of do the rest of the savers. I do the affirmations, which are different for me. That involves kind of short and long-term goal planning and figuring out what those are. I believe that it's important to revisit those at the beginning of every day, because if you don't know where you're headed, how can you know how to get there?
Right.
And then beyond, I don't really do the visualization because I believe that's kind of part of the affirmations. I treat them the same. So I think about my goals and how I'm going to get there. And I'd rather use that time to do that. At that point, I've already done the exercise. And then I'm such a huge fan of reading and journaling. So whether it's an audiobook or a physical book, I prefer physical. I'll then spend 20, 30 minutes every day just reading a chapter, reading something, but it's not usually a fun book. It's usually like a self-help book or a, you know, a negotiation book or something that I feel like it professionally I could use an aspect of that to improve in my life. And then I take a couple of notes about what I learned. And that really is less because of the savers. It's more because I'm the type of learner that I learned that if I read something and then I write down what I learned, I'll remember it forever. Mm-hmm. And that's what every day looks like. And that really candidly takes me about 1.5 to 2 hours. And that sucks because I used to because now I wake up at 5 a.m. and I used to wake up at 7, right? But but it's really good for me because I'm happier. I'm not healthier, right? I jump on the Peloton, but I still eat like crap and I work all day. So, you know, I'm still fat, but I'm happy. And you can't show up to the office in the morning grumpy, angry, perturbed. You have to put out whatever you want your people to do. If I expect everyone on the phone, I call it dialing and smiling. Hey, how you doing today? I better walk in that office. Hey, how you doing today?
Yeah.
And you need to be that person. Because I used to think you wanted to be feared in order to be respected. And I found it's exactly the opposite. You want to be the exact model of what you want them to be respected. You want them to strive to be you. So I use that routine to make sure that every morning, by the time I walk in that office, my head is in the game.
Yeah, well put, because you're an extension. The business is an extension of you, right? Because that's how you're cultivating as the leader. You're building that culture within the business. And what better way to start by working on you so that you show up your best? You show up. That's the show up on get up, dress up and show up. That's you showing up on purpose. That's you showing up, smiling and dialing. That's you showing up to actually build the gratitude, the culture that you want for your business. So it's phenomenal that to hear the way you practice it and how you apply it throughout the day. And I built on savers. I actually, from Hal Arad, I added HIIT savers, and that it becomes, hydrating first thing in the morning. You know, when you wake up, drinking that water, get rid of that brain fog, making your bed, you know, time's up, get your butt out of there, make it, you know, make your bed. And then writing is a piece of it. And at the end of it, I did add a cold shower, making the last 60 seconds of it ice cold. And it really does amplify, it wakes you up, amplify the day, adding those onto it, because that's what entrepreneurs do. That's what successful people do. These are the things that they partake in the morning to set them apart, right? We all have the same 24 hours.
We do. And first of all, I got to say the hydration is so important, right? I kind of leave that out. But one of the things I do is get a huge bottle of water. And since 10 minutes after I wake up, I'm on the Peloton. Well, that's gone by the time I'm done. And typically I went and did the math because it's like, I wonder how much water I drink every morning because I never paid attention to it. And I did figure it out. And it's about 36 ounces of water by the time I show up to work.
Nice.
Feels great. Never really done the cold shower. Always a little hesitant about cold showers, but you know, it's kind of neat. And I'm definitely going to add that to my routine. But I think what's so important is exactly what we're talking about. You have to be ready. You have to, whatever your process is, don't rob yourself of that. It's not going to happen every single day. There may be a time, you know, you may wake up and your water may be off for some reason. You may have a plumbing issue. Well, you're not getting that cold shower this morning, but you can do everything else. You've got to have your non-negotiable and kind of figure out how you're going to make that happen. Because if you don't take care of yourself in that way, you can't be the leader. And I guess it depends on what drives you, right? Mm-hmm. But I was at a workshop with other lawyers that do millions and millions in revenue a month each. I mean, these aren't the big personal injury lawyers you see on TV. These are the lawyers that make more money than those lawyers wish they could make, right? And I thought it was so interesting. I asked, why do you do it? It was just a round table topic. Why do you do this? And the answer was so interesting because it wasn't, oh, I do it for my family. It wasn't, I do it for this. I didn't do it for that. I'd say 80 to 90% of them said, I do it for my team.
Really?
And I thought that was so interesting because by the time you've grown such a big business, you have all of these mouths to feed and you have all of their families, right? So every day you keep growing because they're counting on you to grow. And you know, you can probably hear some background noise and stuff right now because it's about 4:25 here when this is being recorded. So they're all getting a little antsy. They're going to kind of take their break and they'll work for another couple hours tonight still. But, you know, it's all for them. And they know that. And they're all out there and they're all, you know, they were there. I try to beat them in every morning and I can't physically do it. I don't know when they show up. I have no idea. They're told to show up for 9 and I get here at 7 and the office is full.
Oh, you know? Wow.
And then they're told to leave at 5 and I can stay here till 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And I kind of hear people moving around and I think, well, maybe it's me. Right. So then I started leaving at 5, right on the dot, started leaving at 5 and then coming back a couple hours later and they're still here. Right. And I was like, oh, so you're not worried that I'm going to catch you. You're actually just here.
Cause you want to be, and you're enjoying this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. And they work hard and they care. And I think the reason they do that is because they know you do it for them.
Wow. I love that. I am going to apply that as well. That's true. When you do it for them, they return that. They reciprocate that. That same level of effort and work, progress, and productivity. That is well put. Of course, I love your morning routine. I love the model of your business. So tell us, how can we connect with you? How can we find you?
I'm super easy to find. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. I'm too old to be on TikTok, but anyone can email me anytime. It's hair, just my last name, like hair on your head, at insuranceclaimhq.com. You can also go to our website. As I said, you can hit us up on social media. And then we actually have a 24-hour number. It's 844-CLAIM-84, C-L-A-I-M-84. And other people answer that like 24/7. I'm not immediately reachable through that number. But if you call and leave a message, I will personally call you back.
That's cool. Yeah, this has been fantastic. And just hearing before we go, one piece of advice that you would have for listeners, for people who are looking to grow and finding that purpose and building that business, right? Building their business in the same way that you have been able to acquire the right team members. And what advice would you have for them?
Yeah, so I'd say it's twofold. I'd say, first of all, you have to come up with your real, true purpose. Mm-hmm. You might think your purpose is to make money. You might think your purpose is to do that or this or that, but figure out what the societal's purpose that your company is serving is and relentlessly build a culture, core values, a system around that core purpose. And then the second thing is, look, you just don't get anything done by giving up. So if you've got that core value and you've got that core structure, just plug away at it relentlessly.
Yeah. It sounds like you're having a great time as you build your business, Galen. It's been truly an honor to have you and to speak with you. So thank you for your time today.
Well, and Doctor, I'll tell you this as part of preparing to talk to you. I had the good fortune to listen to a few of your episodes and read some of the things you've written. And I just would like to personally say thank you for what you're doing. The content is amazing and please keep it up.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.